Mic check. How you doing, man?
I'm good, buddy. How are you?
I'm stoked, man. Stoked to be talking to you, and appreciate the time tonight.
Of course, man. Likewise.
So, want to get into the new album and the tour, of course, and talk a little U.S. But, dude, let's start with this this album. Killer album coming out on April the 5th, Half Living Things, your third album. And kind of cool concept, writing the album with this the live stage in mind, like really thinking about crowd participation and writing the music and lyrics around that. Talk to me about that philosophy for this album.
I think with every album prior, we always try to keep the live setting in mind, but it's not something you realize until you've played the songs live, what you would change and how different you would do it. So I think we just spent a bit more time jamming these and just really studying and looking at the videos and looking to see like how differently we play our old songs to, yeah, I don't know. It's a really hard thing to imagine, but we just really tried to focus on that this time around.
And a little bit of a theme and concept of the album as well, lyrically?
Honestly, like, that always comes at the back end of it because I'm super sporadic with my writing. I can't keep a straight concept going whatsoever. But I don't think another thing you don't realize until afterwards, because no matter what, you're always going to be a certain sphere when you're writing music, whether you know that or not. So you come out the other end of it and you're just like, I guess I was on a sort of similar tangent. So let me try to quantify this and wrap this up into one sentence, you know?
I love it, man. I love it. It comes out swinging, but there's also a lot of melody in the music now too, and kind of stepping in a different direction and light with some of that.
Yeah. Yeah. We've always had that in us and we're always going to, whether or not we pull it off every time is a different story, but we're always going to try, you know, it's not our bread and butter, but we still, you know, we're doing it.
And dude, no way to not talk about it, but, sucks to suck. Tell me about getting the legendary Ice-T on that track, dude. How did that all happen, man?
Honestly, man, I got to think of a cooler way to tell this story because it's it's pretty industry. It was very email-y and lawyer-y. Like, there's not much to say about it, but like, yeah, we just pretty much reached for the stars. We sort of drew some connections between our management and other bands' management, and who can we? How many degrees of separation does it take to get to certain people or whatever? And we did the math and we were just like, wait a minute. I bet our manager knows so-and-so. And then lo and behold, we got in touch. The song landed on his lap and he fucked with it enough that he did his thing on it.
It's amazing. I mean, even if it's not the most exciting story, he still chose to do it. He could have said no.
I mean, that's what you got to do when you work with the big dogs, I guess.
Swing for the fences, right? And then
I'm not running into Ice-T on the street anytime soon, you know, like,
did you give him any direction or just said do something and he just did his thing?
God, no, none of us were like, we're not telling this man what to do. Like, he understood the assignment though. We had the section and none of us really knew what to expect, but like still wanted that in the ballpark. We didn't want like a fully rappy part. We didn't want a really heavy screamy part. We just wanted someone to come in and be like, just lay it down for a couple seconds, man, and then dip. Like, that's all we wanted.
Well, that's what he does, man. He's so like authoritative.
Yeah, literally, that's the thing. He's like, the presence on the track is enough, you know.
And cool that he did the video too, man.
Yeah, that was essential. As soon as we locked the feature in, the labels were just like, whatever we have to do to get this done, we're doing it. Like, we went full steam ahead. And like, Ice-T and his camp were super, like, they were down for it and everything. They were excited. Like, they weren't, I thought it was going to be hard and difficult, but they were like super eager. They wanted to work.
So were you guys actually in the same room? Because it looks like it in the video, but I could also see it being like kind of photoshopped.
Yeah. So they were like two different shoots and we didn't have him in the first bunch of scenes. So a few weeks later when we were still in the States, we hooked up with him in like Brooklyn, I think, with like a different studio space and a different setup and shit. But like, we had to, like, we weren't going to do the video if we couldn't have him in it, sort of thing. So yeah, we were all there like stupid o'clock waiting for him to come in and start shooting. And then our producer just comes in. It's just like, everybody, our cool is here. And then like 10 seconds later, he just walks into the room and we're just like, comes down by himself in his Bentley. Like,
wow.
Just solo. Yeah. Very badass.
Did you get to chop it up with him a little bit before filming the video?
Yeah. Yeah. We were like, it took a bit because obviously we were terrified. We were also like 5 weeks into an America tour. So we were like, hooked as we didn't know what was happening. We didn't believe it or anything. And then like he sort of like pretty much immediately like sat down on the couch and just like, you guys want to hear some new music? And we were just like, all right, like just took over our producer's like Bluetooth speaker and just immediately put us in like demo jail, starts showing us new body count. Like, it's just like, what do you say? It's just like, this song I made out of two notes. See if you can tell which notes they are. And like, it was like the Iron Man riff or something like that, but Aussie. And it was just like, just, I don't know, like it was wild. Like he was just like, yeah, check this out, check this out. And we were like, yeah, we were frothing it. We were absolutely loving it.
That wasn't a bad impersonation. You did a pretty good nice tea there, man.
I've gone harder with it too, but like this is publicized, so I'm going to keep it under wraps.
Well, dude, and did you ever, guys ever come up with an, you guys look like you had a blast filming that video. Did you ever come up with a name for the monster guy? Does he have a name?
We didn't actually. Like, what? I think we were sort of waiting for like the fans to coin something like in relation to something to do with our lore, but I don't know. Maybe he'll appear again and we'll add a bit of a story arc there as well.
Yeah, you need your own, like, you know, Eddie from Iron Maiden. You need your own, like, alien mascot
exactly,
thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, but we literally just did a tour with Motionless and White, and they have a giant, I forget what he's called, what he is. It's a big zombie thing, but yeah. All the fans knew him. Like, they know him by name, right? We definitely need one of them.
You do. And, dude, looking forward to the tour, man. Your first U.S. headline tour. Going to be in L.A. Yep. April 13th, Regent Theater, downtown L.A., and bringing out with you Unity and Chamber and, dude, Frankie Palmieri and Emir.
Yeah.
He's got to have been a big influence on you, right?
Yeah, I mean, you listen to the band, and it's, you know, it's pretty obvious to see the influence there. Like, we're almost sort of like, maybe not so now, but definitely in the early days, that was all we used to cop online, just like Emir Jr. Like, and I literally think like in the early days of the band, before I had anything to do with it, like the two founding members saw Emir at a show and then immediately started writing different music. Like they were writing like straight edge hardcore, like positive hardcore. And they were just like, no, they went and bought a whammy pedal and it was all over.
they're phenomenal. I saw them I think in November, back in November with We Came as Romans.
We came, yeah.
Yeah, and they were Frankie's still bringing it, man.
Right, dude, yeah. Not like did have not missed a beat whatsoever. Like we were, because it was a weird little return thing for them. And we were hyped because like, we had all this booked, but we wanted to know how all the shows were going. And then as soon as they played the first show, everyone was just like, oh, yeah, it's Emir. That's right. Like, how could we forget?
The Kings.
And then we just had them over in Australia for a massive festival we did in Brisbane. And it was like kids, just like a waterfall of kids over the barrier, the whole set. Like, yeah, they were duly missed.
Yeah, they're great. And they're good. I forget his name, but the guitar player is great and amazing to watch on stage as well.
Josh Travis. Yeah. He's like, that's the thing. He's like, even before Scotty was in Alpha Wolf, one of his like greatest influences from like Glass Cloud and stuff like that.
Yeah. You just watch that dude all night. The whole show. Yeah.
He's awesome. He's an absolute riot.
Dude, talk to me about setlist. Now with the third album, I imagine you'll be playing a lot of new tracks from the Half Living Things. It's a Half Living Things tour, so you kind of got to. But have you figured that out yet?
Yeah, we're constantly doing that. We're trying to get two setlists going at the moment, and it's freaking confusing because, like you said, there's a whole slew of new songs we've got to play, but it's also our first headline, proper headline in America. So we still have to play the old songs that people may not have heard yet. So we're juggling it. I don't know. I sort of hate when a band comes out with a new album, their set is very new song heavy, especially if you don't know how you feel about the album yet. So I don't know. We're very conscious of that. We want to be able to please both. But that's the thing. If the album is like everybody loves it through and through, we don't know. Like everybody wants to hear every song. So yeah, it's going to be a balance, but yeah, we're still nutting that one out.
Dude, and I'm kind of curious, man. You've toured the U.S. before, obviously, and toured the States, toured California, toured SoCal. When you see dates in the U.S. or in SoCal, is there anything you look forward to? Like, food-wise, drink-wise, In-N-Out hamburger, tacos, burritos, is there anything that you're like, oh, man, I'm coming through SoCal, I know I'm going to get...
Honestly, Mexican in SoCal, like,
that's what
you've
got to.
No, like, nowhere specific. I'm, like, I'm vegetarian most part anyway, so it's sort of difficult. So I usually just float around. But that's the best thing about those places adjacent to where it all comes from, is it's just like you can just float around and get the best food you've ever had. Like, so nowhere too specific. I'm like, I'm an avid like penny pincher at Taco Bell. Hey, like I'm disgraceful with that sort of thing.
Dollar menu and everything.
Dude, exactly. So yeah, I don't know, the weather mostly, SoCal, that's what like California's good for.
Well, go back to the let's go back to the Mexican food for a second. Taco versus burrito.
Tacos in America, because tacos in America are a different game to Australia. They're so much more like genuine.
Now, do you mean like a Taco Bell taco or like a street taco?
Regardless, it's the same. Like Taco Bell tacos are more genuine than like a Rigidige taco in Australia. Like they just can't get it right. But like the burritos in Australia, they get, I don't understand it. Like they just miss the mark. But like something about tacos, like in America, you just, it's all on a big messy thing and something about it just works. Yeah, beef, probably tacos.
Beef, chicken, pork, what's your flavor?
Well, I'm super into shrimp tacos, like, because I do seafood outside of meat, but any sort of veggie filling they got, like sofritas and stuff like that, or just like the grilled veggies, I'm down for it. Like, I scoff it.
Love it, man. Well,
that's my big problem with America, man. I gotta like, we're going there so regular, I need way better of a workout routine because it's like, I get carried away.
Dude, I appreciate all the time. Last thing I wanted to hit you up about, loved your guest spot on the Boundaries track, A Pale Light Lingers. And tell me about making that one. I imagine for that one, you were in the same room with them at the same time.
No, actually, that one, Caleb from Invent Animate hit me up and he said, hey, man, would you feature on a Boundaries song? And I was just like, why the hell are you asking me? Like, what's like, what the hell? He's just like, oh, I'm with them now. And they were like, I don't know, they were like nervous, they didn't want to ask you yet. And I was just like, dude, what the hell? They're like the scariest band ever. Of course I want to do that. And then like, I think Corey messaged me like the next day and sent me the track. And I was just like, ah, oh, so on. I was in America at the time when I got it though. And I think I like wanted to record it right away because I loved it so much. But I ended up getting it done like 3 months later or something because I had to get it done at home. Also, I was just nervous as hell because like usually I'm pretty confident when I'm doing a guest spot. But their vocalist is like a freak. Like that dude intimidates me. That's the most insane, like just gnarly aggressive voice ever. And I was like sort of shook in the studio. I was just like, oh man, I actually got to like bring it here. So yeah, that was fun. That was exciting. And I'm stoked. Like I've heard the rest of the record as well. And it's just like, yeah, it's nonsense.
Yeah, I've only heard the two tracks, but looking forward to that. And they're coming through the States too, a little bit behind you. We got them in Orange County on May 17th at Chain Reaction. So looking forward to that show.
I am dying to catch them live. I've never seen them.
Neither.
I've watched like 100 videos, never actually seen them live. But I hear it's like something to behold.
Yeah, yeah. Super looking forward to that. Dude, I appreciate all the time. Last thing I got to hit you with, we're an old school kind of radio station. We do a feature called Mandatory Metallica every night at 10 p.m., which you're going to be a part of. You're shaking your head sideways. Are you a Metallica fan?
Hell no, dude. I know like two Metallica songs and it's like one and Enter Sandman. So I'm sorely disappointed, but it's very funny because our guitarist Sabian is like an absolute nerd. So he's going to absolutely crumble when he watches this.
Call him up real quick. Get him on the Zoom. I'm just kidding.
What was it?
Well, I was just gonna, yeah, because I was kind of curious. I have a little.
I'll answer it anyway. I'll answer to the best of my ability.
All right, so it's a little Metallica debate I have going on, because Metallica, yeah, those the you know, One and Inner Sandman, more of their more popular stuff, but they started out really heavy when they were a thrash metal, yeah, band. I think their two thrash metal albums are Ride the Lightning and Master of Puppets. And so I like to get, yeah, into that little debate. If you had to pick between one of those two, which one would it be? Even though you don't know either one.
What's the big song on each of those records?
So for Ride the Lightning, it's probably For Whom the Bell Tolls.
Yeah.
And then Master of Puppets is Master of Puppets. And that was just on Stranger Things.
Yeah, that one. For Whom the Bell Tolls, I guess. That's a cover too, isn't it?
No, it's their song.
No, their song. Who covered? Didn't someone cover that?
Maybe. I think it's based on a book. Maybe that's what you're thinking about or something.
True. All right. We'll see. That's how extensive my Metallica knowledge is. Sorry about that.
No, it's cool. It's cool. I'm glad you played along. Some people just tap out right away. So I appreciate you having some fun and playing along with it. Because ultimately, I mean, it's just music and fun. And we're all music nerds. What you do, what I do, you know, we just love music. That's why we do what we do.
Yeah. Yeah, and that's the thing. Regardless of my knowledge of the band, like, and if I listen to them or like them or not, I can still see where it all freaking comes from. They're always like, I did my like Slipknot studies like 2 years ago. I was not like a Slipknot guy or whatever. And I went like way back, and I was just like, nobody's ideas are original. Like Slipknot did it. Like, and it's the same with bands like Metallica. Like Sabian will put on an album and I'm just like, I don't love most of this, but I can hear every other band that's come after this and where it's come from. I'm like, probably should get into it, but it's some of it's a bit hard to chew at this time, you know?
So did you come up more on the hip hop side and on the rap side?
I was primarily like hip hop growing up, and then got into like heavier stuff, and I've always just sort of gone back and forth between it.
Who's the greatest rapper of all time? Because I can think of an answer right away. I mean, you might be obliged to say Ice-T at this point, but
I mean, he's definitely one of the goats. He's like one of the first gangster rappers around doing it.
I'll tell you mine to buy you some time.
Who's yours?
Ice Cube, all the way, baby.
Ice Cube, yeah. See, I'm like, it's so cheesy and I hate saying it, just like, it's so easy to say Eminem, but as a white kid growing up in like fucking white Australia, that's all you had. But then like, I don't know, I quickly got onto other things. I think like Earl Sweatshirt is one of the greatest. He's obviously way later. He's like my age, but like the same time he's like, I never got into the whole like emo-y, SoundCloud-y type rap or hypey like Migos type thing. I always liked rappity rap type stuff. But like him, Earl, Flatbush Zombies, like any New York stuff, Wu-Tang, like Inspector Deck. I love all Inspector Deck. He's got actually Inspector Deck, Esoteric and 7L, all like three New York dudes have this group called Zarface. And they collab with like they have an album, they have like two albums with MF Doom. They have an album with Ghostface Killah. They have, what's their other collab album? They just do albums with all those like old school grimy New York artists that are all like comic book caricatures and stuff like that. That type of stuff, you know, like that's the shit that I really liked. All that Wu-Tang, like Bone Thugs.
Yeah, yeah.
And another newer one that I really like that I didn't mention before, Aesop Rock. Have you ever heard of him? Not Aesop Rocky.
Oh,
but
no.
Aesop Rock.
No.
Yeah, no. Oh, like it's AESOPROCK. And he's like, I don't even know how to describe him, but he's like probably like one of the greatest lyricists of all time. Like, that's my game. That's my hip hop game right there. That's the only thing I got to add.
My hip hop game ended, I think, with Eminem. That's about the newest.
I think that's where my dad checked out too. Yeah. Like, because that's where I got all the earlier stuff on. Like, he put me on the Colors with Ice-T. That's where I knew him from. Showed me everything. He found Eminem. Then it was over for him. He's just like, oh my God, white people can rap. Never listen to anything else.
Beautiful, man. Thank you so much for the time. Can't wait to see you out there at the LA show.
Of course, bro. Thank you for having me.
Have a good one. Safe travels.
Bye-bye. All right, be good, man. See ya.
Dude, you absolutely rock. Thank you so much for checking out the entire interview. Now just hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast, Radioactive Mike Z. My interviews in their entirety, available on all the major platforms, TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever you're listening to right now, just hit the subscribe button. Make sure to give me a follow on the socials as well. I'll follow you back at MikeZ967. And bro, don't miss the radio show. Now 10 p.m. to midnight on 96.7 KCAL Rocks in the Southern California Inland Empire area, Riverside, San Bernardino County. Always streaming on live at kcalfm.com. You, my friend, absolutely rock. Dude, you absolutely rock. Thank you so much for checking out the entire interview. Now just hit subscribe. Subscribe to the podcast, Radioactive Mike Z. My interviews in their entirety, available on all the major platforms, TuneIn, Stitcher, iTunes, SoundCloud, whatever you're listening to right now, just hit the subscribe button. Make sure to give me a follow on the socials as well. I'll follow you back at MikeZ967. And bro, don't miss the radio show. Now 10 p.m. to midnight on 96.7 KCAL Rocks in the Southern California Inland Empire area, Riverside, San Bernardino County. Always streaming on live at kcalfm.com. You, my friend, absolutely rock.